fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Spoonty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We kick off with football, where planned by Nigeria to recall striker Odion Ighalo for this month's World Cup qualifying matches against Liberia and Cape Verde is proving controversial. The 32-year-old Ighalo is based in Saudi Arabia with the club Al Shabab. He retired from international football after the 2019 African Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. The chief football writer at SELSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo, tells Iron Mike Mbonye it's a bad move to recall Ighalo.
For me, I believe it is a ludicrous plan. And to be frank, I think it is an insult on the current set of players we have that some people somewhere are planning to bring in Odion Ighalo back to the Super Eagles. I do not think it's fair on the players at all. I mean, we have strikers painting Europe red with goals week in, week out. Victor Osimhen cannot stop scoring for SSC Napoli in Italy. Kelechi Iheanacho has been scoring and getting assists for his club side Leicester City in England. Taiwo Awoniyi cannot stop scoring in Germany. And we're thinking of bringing Ighalo, that is over 30 years of age, to the Super Eagles, who plays club football in Saudi Arabia. I don't think it's fair on this current set. And it's obvious that this is one main reason why Nigeria's Super Eagles have not really punched to the heights they deserve to be in the last 4 or 5 years under head coach Gernot Rohr. I mean, you would think that we keep improving, we keep giving our youngsters more and more experience. The excuse is that, well, Ighalo is needed for his experience. But pray tell, what is that experience that the likes of Onuachu, Osimhen, Iheanacho, Awoniyi do not have? I am not in support of that idea, and I think it is an idea that is capable of working against the team as a unit.
What may have motivated the move to recall Odion Ighalo to the Super Eagles? And you think it will have the blessing of coach Gernot Rohr?
In all sincerity, I'm still lacking the motive behind the imminent recall of Jude Ighalo to the Super Eagles. Is the team lacking goals? I do not think so. Is Victor Osimhen, who has carried on with the number 9 jersey since Ighalo left after the Nations Cup, not doing well? I don't think so. He's been scoring in every other game for the Super Eagles. We have ample replacements or substitutes on the bench. Paul Onuachu has weighed in with his goals. Taiwo Awoniyi has scored goals. Kelechi Iheanacho has also scored goals. So I do not precisely know why Gernot Rohr, Hamadou Pinnick, or whoever thinks the Super Eagles still needs Ighalo badly, in spite of the fact that this guy is playing in a league that is not as competitive as many of the top leagues of Europe. Yes, to all intents and purposes, Gernot Rohr will give it his blessing. He's been talking about this development for the past 12 months or thereabouts, so I won't be surprised if he's also behind this thinking. But that just summarizes why the team has not significantly moved forward or progressed in the last 2-3 years. Since everything went crumbling down at the World Cup in Russia against Argentina at St. Petersburg, the team has not achieved the height they should have achieved. The semi-final against Algeria in 2019 Africa Cup of Nations, they lost rather obediently to Algeria. And when they come up against the top African sides, they've not really punched up to their weight. And I think this is part of the problem. There is no clear vision, there is no clear plan by Gernot Rohr to move the team forward other than regurgitating some of the players he had used in the past.
What are the chances of the Super Eagles in the World Cup qualifying matches against Liberia and Cape Verde in November?
Nigeria have just 2 matches left to play like every other country, but we need just 4 points. Good for Nigeria. One will be played at home in Lagos. The other will be played at a neutral ground in Tangier, Morocco, which has been a very good hunting ground for Nigeria's national teams in recent times. Now, Nigeria faced Liberia first in Tangier, and you don't expect the Super Eagles to be beaten by Liberia on a neutral ground. So maybe a point or the maximum three from there, the Super Eagles should be able to garner that and add to whatever points they could get against Cape Verde in Lagos. This is a team they had already beaten in Delo in a reverse fixture. So beating Cape Verde in Lagos shouldn't be a problem to the Super Eagles. So I absolutely believe that the chances are bright for the Super Eagles. They're almost home and dry. If you need 4 points from the possible six, I think you should be able to get it done with the quality that the team have, regardless of if the manager still wants to bring in some old players. There is enough quality in the team to beat teams like Liberia and Cape Verde.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at SCLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonyi on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, Samson O'Malley will have a package of African sports news for us.
We begin the sport with Ivory Coast International and Crystal Palace Football Club of England forward Wilfred Zaha, who says he was targeted with racist abuse on social media following his side's 2-0 win against Manchester City on Saturday. Wilfred Zaha, who scored in the 6th minute of the match to contribute to his side's victory, shared screenshots of multiple racist messages he had received on his verified Instagram account's story, preceded by a post where he explained why he wanted to share the abuse with his 1.1 million followers. In Ghana, the Ghana Premier League and the other lower leagues were both plagued with scores of hooliganism attacks, which was mostly directed at players and match officials last season. As the Ghana Premier League got underway this past weekend, the Ghana Football Association president, Kurt Okraku, has reiterated the willingness of the Football Association to fight hooliganism in the Ghana Premier League.
We continue to educate people. I think that the educational drive will be intensified, but there are always three results in the game: a win, a draw, or a defeat. Simple.
In marathon news, Elisha Kiprop won the 18th edition of the Nairobi Marathon held on Sunday. Elisha Kiprop took command of the race to emerge victorious, with Alphonse Keegan coming second. Joshua Kogo finished third. Elisha Kiprop, the 2018 winner, clocked 2 hours, 11 minutes, 07 seconds, and he was joined on the podium 4 seconds later by Keegan as Kogo crossed the finish line in 2 hours, 11 minutes, 14 seconds. Valentine Kipketer outsmarted Naomi Chipkogi in the women's 42 kilometers to win the race in 2 hours, 30 minutes and 02 seconds. Naomi settled for the second slot in 2 hours, 32 minutes, 23 seconds, with Lilian Chimewono coming third in 2 hours, 34 minutes, 14 seconds. In rugby news, Kenya Shujaa are the new Safari Sevens champions after registering a hard-fought 12-5 win against Germany in an entertaining final of the 23rd edition, which climaxed at Inyanyu Stadium on Sunday. Fan favorite Alvin Bufor Otieno and Justin Olindi scored on either side of Jack Hutt's try to hand Shujaa the crown they last won in 2016. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Douglas Mpuga also joins us now with another package of African sports news, including the Women's African Cup of Nations qualifying matches.
In women's football, the qualifying teams for the second qualifying round of the Africa Cup of Nations, Morocco 2022, are now determined. On Wednesday, South Africa, Botswana, Senegal and Zimbabwe confirmed their places for the final stage. However, the winner of Sudan and Algeria could not be determined. The match was postponed to a later date due to the situation in Sudan. The first leg will be played between February 14th and February 17th, 2022, and the draws are as follows. Uganda will take on Kenya, Burundi will play Djibouti, Zambia plays Namibia, Zimbabwe is against Botswana, South Africa plays the winner between Algeria and Sudan, Tunisia is playing against Equatorial Guinea, Cameroon against Zambia, Togo against Gabon, Senegal will play Mali, Guinea-Bissau will play Burkina Faso, and Nigeria is against Cote d'Ivoire. Meanwhile, the Guinea Football Federation has terminated Didier Six as coach of the national football team, the Sili National. Six will be replaced by Kaba Diawara and Manjoun Diallo, according to the federation's website. The Sili National are unable to reach next year's World Cup in Qatar after taking just 3 points from their 4 matches in Group I of the African qualifying. The Guinea Football Federation said negotiations with Six over an amicable separation were underway. Diallo will be assistant to Diawara, who has no previous experience as a senior head coach. Former France international, 67-year-old Six, has been in charge of Guinea since September 2019 and guided the West Africans to qualification for next year's Africa Cup of Nations. Guinea have been drawn alongside Senegal, Zimbabwe and Malawi in Group B for the tournament in Cameroon, which begins on January 9, 2022. Meanwhile, a team of 11 former international footballers recently toured the facilities that will be used during January's Africa Cup of Nations and praised the stadia which will be used. 6 stadia will be used for the tournament, including 2 in the capital Yaounde, the refurbished Ahmadou Ahidjo, and a brand new one in the Olembe area of the city, where the opening game and the final will be played. Douala also has a new facility, the Japoma Stadium, and the other venues are in the towns of Bafassam, Limbe, and Garoua. In cricket, South Africa had a 4-wicket win in the final over against Sri Lanka in the men's T20 World Cup. Defeat does not eliminate Sri Lanka, but a second defeat in 3 games leaves them very unlikely to progress. Before the game, South African wicketkeeper Quinton de Kock took a knee on his return to the side, having apologized after withdrawing from the win over West Indies for refusing to make the gesture. Earlier, Namibia, the tournament's lowest-ranked side, beat Scotland by 4 wickets in their first group game on Wednesday after making the Super 12s at the first attempt. Namibia was due to face Afghanistan in their next match. Later, they face Pakistan, New Zealand, and India. They beat the Netherlands and Ireland in the qualifying rounds to reach the Super 12 phase.
Thanks, Douglas and Prince Nesta. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African beat, Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane and English midfielder Jordan Henderson both registered their names on the score sheet to help Liverpool earn a 2-2 draw at home to Brighton. Albion's goals were scored in both halves by Zambian footballer Enoch Mwepu and Belgian forward Leandro Trossard. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp admitted the draw felt like a defeat for the Reds.
People just still don't respect the quality they have. They might not win, 35 games a season, but they give 38 times each team a proper game, definitely, because the things they do, the patterns they have, they are really good. But again, that's their quality. Our quality should have been today. The best, how I say, the best way to defend them would have been to have the ball and to do smart or clever stuff with it, and that's what we didn't do often enough, and that's why we opened pretty much the door for them coming back into the game, and that's now we pay the price for it. That's how it is. That's the frustration.
That's Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp's reaction to his team's draw against Brighton and Hove Albion. Just a few hours ago, Tottenham Hotspur's fired manager Nuno Espirito Santo and his coaching staff. The news came 2 days after the Spurs lost to Manchester United 3-0, the team's fifth loss in 10 league matches. The club hasn't named a replacement yet. Manchester United hammered Tottenham Hotspur 3-0 thanks to goals from five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo, Edinson Cavani and Marcus Rashford. Ronaldo's now scored 11 goals in 19 games against Tottenham, making him the highest scorer against the North Londoners more than any other team during his career. The win gave the Red Devils' under fire manager a brief reprieve after a string of poor results.
It's been a difficult week for the players, for the club, for the fans, for me. And yeah, you're right. I've stayed away from most of the noise. But you know what's happening out there. You know that you have to put a performance up. As I said, every time you lose a game, it's the worst feeling in the world as a coach, a manager, a player, and you just want the next game to come. But for us, we needed this week. We needed a whole week to work on this performance. And it's probably the first or last time for a while we have a long week to work. So it was an important one just to work on fitness, mentality. Of course, we changed the tactics. So it's always nice to have 4 days to do that.
That was Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reaction after his team's win against Tottenham Hotspur. United are now fifth in the table with 17 points from 10 games, while Tottenham currently lies eighth in the table with 15 points. Early goals from Gabriel and Emil Smith-Rowe ensured Arsenal continued with its fine run of form after earning a hard-fought 2-0 win against Leicester at the King Power Stadium. The Gunners, unbeaten in 9 matches in all competitions, are currently 6th in the Premier League table, while Leicester are currently lying 10th place with 14 points. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta expressed satisfaction with his team's performance, especially a save by their shortstopper Aaron Ramsdale.
I just seen a picture, I haven't seen the video footage, but just my reaction there when I saw the ball leaving the Madison's foot, I said, go. I don't know how it happened. It was incredible, and the moment and the timing of it as well for us, it was crucial.
Manchester City were humbled 2-0 at home by Crystal Palace, thanks to goals from Ivorian striker Wilfred Zaha and Conor Gallagher. Rick James also scored twice, while Jorginho added another to help Chelsea cruise to a 3-0 win against Newcastle at St. James's Park. The Blues have now extended their lead at the top of the Premier League table to 3 points, much to the delight of their manager Thomas Tuchel, who had this to say.
I'm very happy with the team effort today, and we don't celebrate other teams' results. You know, you can lose in this league any match and in any minute, and so we focus on us and we keep going and. Let's see where it goes, but it's a long way to go.
That was Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel's reaction after his side cruised past Newcastle United in the Premier League. West Ham sailed to a 4-1 win over Aston Villa at Villa Park on Sunday. The Hammers now stand at fourth on the Premier League table on 20 points, only 5 points behind leaders Chelsea. West Ham United manager David Moyes says it's a good time to judge how well the team has started the season.
Really pleased with the result. Bits of the performance were very good. Bits of it could be improved on. But look, the run we're on at the moment and the way the players are playing, it was a great result for us. I mean, coming to Villa and scoring 4 is never easy. And I've got to say, this is a real tough game. I think they've got a good team. So from that point of view, it was a great result for us, it really was.
That was West Ham United manager David Moyes.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to the French League, an 88th-minute winner from Argentine striker Angel Di Maria and captain Marquinhos' equaliser and PSG a 2-1 win against Champions Lille. The goal allowed PSG to extend their lead at the top of the French League with 31 points, 8 points ahead of second-place Nice, and a 2-1 home win against Angers. Tunisian footballer Wahbi Hasri's sensational strike from 70 meters away and Saint-Étienne a 1-1 draw at Metz, while French footballer of Algerian descent Hossein Awar and Cameroonian forward Karl Toko Ekambi both recorded their names in the score sheet as Lyon cruised to a 2-1 win against Lens. Turkish footballer Cengiz Onder's sole goal and Marseille 1-0 win against Clermont, while Steve Mooney and Frank Honorat scored as Brest humbled favourites Monaco 2-0.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll explore the history and experiences of the African diaspora and how their connection to the continent has changed over generations. We'll also profile young Americans of African descent making their mark in U.S. politics. Join me, Haley Adams, for the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to La Liga, Brazilian footballer Vinicius Jr. netted twice to help Real Madrid secure a 2-1 victory over Elche in a match that was played at the Martinez Valero Stadium in Elche, Spain. Atletico Madrid also returned to winning ways after beating Real Betis 3-0, courtesy of goals from Yannick Carrasco, an own goal from Jermaine Pezela and Joao Felix. Dutch striker of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay scored, but it wasn't enough, as Barcelona and a 1-1 draw against Alaves at Camp Nou. Barca, who began life after the exit of Ronald Koeman, are now ninth on the table with 16 points after only 11 games. This comes after their Argentine striker Sergio Aguero's rushed to hospital in an ambulance for cardiac tests after experiencing breathing difficulties and dizziness during Saturday's clash. The 33-year-old was later diagnosed with arrhythmia, which may mean the heart beats too quickly, too slowly, or with an irregular pattern. Aguero will have to complete a full cardiac examination before being allowed back on the pitch. AC Milan's Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored his 400th league goal to help his team secure a hard-fought 2-1 victory over Roma in Serie A. The 40-year-old scored through a free kick, with Ivorian midfielder Frank Kessie converting from the penalty spot to ensure Milan moved level on points with league leaders Napoli, who earned a 1-0 win at Salernitana. And in Germany, the 2021 Ballon d'Or contender Robert Lewandowski scored twice, with Leroy Sané, Kingsley Coman and Thomas Müller adding a goal each, as league leaders Bayern Munich beat Union Berlin 5-2. Second place Borussia Dortmund also secured a 2-0 victory over Cologne.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more details on sports activities taking place around the world. The address once again is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. A 3-day ice hockey tournament was held last week in Cairo, Egypt, where promoters hope the event will not only introduce Egyptians to the sport, but also help establish an official winter sports federation in the country. VOA's Gwen Oten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. When you think of a sport you'd expect to see in Egypt with its hot, humid summers and cool, dry winters, ice hockey is probably not the first thing to come to mind. But last week, the country staged its first ever major international ice hockey event in its history. Nancy Abdelhadi is the government relations director for Egypt Ice Hockey, and she tells Reuters News she hopes the event will lead to an increased interest in the sport and the formation of the country's own national league. Abdelhadi says, we feel that if Egyptians learn more about this game, we will be able to have a league, which is our goal. We will have a league for winter sports, including ice hockey, and have a national team that can represent us in the Winter Olympics. The 3-day event was dubbed the Egypt Ice Hockey Experience, with the theme, ice hockey is a sport that can be enjoyed by all, and featured several friendly tournaments with local athletes competing against players from around the world. The event was held in partnership with the Canadian Friendship League, a tourism organization that uses sports to harness cross-cultural engagement. And among those in attendance were 45 girls and boys from a local orphanage and housing community who enjoyed a fun-filled day of ice skating and ice hockey lessons. And Friendship League co-founder Scott Ho says the event provided an opportunity to introduce winter sports to Egyptian children who are normally excluded from big events.
We partnered with Egypt Ice Hockey and IBIS, and we brought a couple children from a local orphanage out to have a few kind of fun hours on the ice. And we did some skating drills, and we taught them a little bit about the sport of ice hockey. And we really hope that that sparks a passion for those kids and that they maybe one day end up on the Egyptian national team down the road.
Also in attendance was Canadian Ambassador to Egypt, Louis Dumont, who said he hopes ice hockey will soon be added to the list of sports Egypt excels in.
I think it's very good. I think what I like about the fact is that Egypt can play in a diversity of sports. I mean, we all know that Egypt is excellent at certain sports, football, for example, squash, wrestling. But, you know, if Egyptians have the athletic ability to perform so well in such sports, why not in ice hockey?
One of Egypt Ice Hockey's main goals is to ensure Egyptian athletes can participate in international sporting events, including future Winter Olympic Games. And while Egypt does not have an official federation, the Egypt Ice Hockey team has participated in several international matches since 2016. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
That report from Gwen Oten wraps up the November 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. We'll be right back. Thank you.